Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go Court. I am your host, Paul Gann. For the next 2 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number is to call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070, and you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgann. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgann, and you can follow the show on Twitter at GoForItGann. Hope everybody had a great week. It is Easter holiday coming upon us. Easter's tomorrow, actually. So many of you are preparing for that, getting ready for that, getting your Sunday back ready. Your beautiful soup and things of that nature. You're getting it all ready for tomorrow. Tomorrow's a big day. You unveil all those big soups. Tomorrow is the Easter holiday. And, again, beautiful and most wonderful time of the year is now, because now we have, of course, my favorite time of the year, the NBA playoffs. And last night, champions did what champions do on the road. And last night, the Boston, let's start with the Boston Celtics. They did what a champion does on the road. Boston last night, they went into New York, the big, bad Madison Square Garden. The crowd was ready. It's been a long time since they had a playoff game in Madison Square Garden, a big, long time. Long time since they had one. Almost 10 years since they had one in the Madison Square Garden. And it's been 10 years since the Knicks have won a playoff game. So the fans were ready. Everybody was ready to go. The fans were hyped and ready to go. It was a long time coming, but guess what? Rondo, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce, they ran into New York and they just silenced the crowd. Give them a lot of credit last night. The Boston Celtics do what the Boston Celtics have done, what champions do. They go on the road in a hostile environment, and they get it done. Rondo, a career high, a Celtics playoff record, 20 assists last night for Rondo, and Rondo messed around and got a triple-double. He had a triple-double by the end of the third quarter. Paul Pierce does what Paul Pierce does in the playoffs. And if you listen to the show on Thursday, Eric Williams talked about it. He said it. Paul expects Paul Pierce to have a big game. He loves the big stage, which is Madison Square Garden. He loves the crowd, and he loves silence in that crowd, and that's what he did last night with 38 big points. And Ray Allen, with that sweet stroke, got it done for the Boston Celtics. 32 big points for Ray Allen, 11 from 18 from the field, 8 three-pointers, 8 for 11 from downtown. The stroke was going. The stroke was money. And the Boston Celtics right now have a commanding and insurmountable 3-0 series lead. This series is officially over. It's over. The series is over at this point. I mean, the Knicks, you play well in game one, almost get the victory. You play well in game two, again, almost get the victory. But then here's the thing. When you have a team down and you have an opportunity to beat a good team like the Boston Celtics, you have to beat them. You have to beat them. You have to execute. The Knicks, they haven't executed down the stretch. They had execution problems game one, had execution problems game two. You have to execute and you have the opportunity to beat the team that's better than you, the more talented team, which is the Boston Celtics. They let you hang around game one. Again, they let you hang around game two, but game three, they put that foot on the neck, on the throat. You know, it's over. It's done. It's time for Boston Celtics to play Boston Celtics basketball. And that's going on the road in a hostile environment, which is Madison Square Garden. These teams, these Knicks fans haven't seen a playoff game in a long time. It's been a while. It's been a while. So they went in there, and they did what champions, and that's win basketball games on the other team's home court. And it's looking more like it's not looking. It's going to happen. We're going to have the Boston Celtics, the Miami Heat, in the second round of the playoffs. These two teams are going to get it on the second round of the playoffs. The two powerhouses will get it together, and they will get it on. They will get it on. And so, you know, it should be an exciting series. It should be a great series. It should be a very good series. A very good series. I mean, you have two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, in the Boston Celtics, in the Miami Heat, and both teams are playing some pretty decent basketball. Granted, they're playing against the Sixers and the Knicks. Let's see what happens when they play each other. And it's going to be a great series, a series that, you know, you look at it, Boston, they knocked out D-Wade and his Miami Heat last year. They knocked out LeBron and his Cleveland Cavaliers last year. They knocked them out. So these two want to get some revenge here. And these two, which is LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, are getting it done against the Philadelphia 76ers. Round two is going to be great. Round two is going to be great. Boston Celtics, Miami Heat, I'm looking forward to it. That should be a great series. The Heat have the home court advantage, which may be big and which may loom large. But as we saw last week, the Boston Celtics, it didn't matter. It didn't matter who had the home court advantage. They were able to go through Cleveland, and they were able to go through Orlando. And they didn't have the home court in those series. And guess what? It didn't matter. They got it done anyway. They got it done anyway. This is a championship veteran-laden team. So it doesn't matter where they play. They can play at your house, my house, on the road, in a hotel. They can play anywhere. This team, is that's the type of team that's up. And so they'll go anywhere, any place, and they'll get it done. So we're going to get what we all want. That's going to be the Celtics, and that's going to be the Heat in that next round. And we'll see what happens. Like I said before, I got the Miami Heat going to the NBA Finals. I just like what I see right now. And granted, they are playing the Sixers, but I like what I saw near the end of the regular season. If you remember, they did blow out the Celtics near the end of the regular season in that game. First only time they beat the Celtics, but they blew them out in Miami. But you saw a different team. You saw a more confident Heat team against the Boston Celtics. I think it's all coming together right now. I think it's all coming together. And so I look for the Miami Heat to ultimately beat the Boston Celtics in the second round. And last night, another champion, the two-time defending champion, Los Angeles Lakers, do and did what the Los Angeles Lakers have done during these past couple of years. And that is go into your building, and that is get it done. Now, granted, game one, the Hornets came into L.A., Chris Paul doing what Chris Paul has done and what Chris Paul can do, did his thing game one. Game two, Chris Paul was still effective, not as effective as he was in game one, but still played well. Hornets competed. They were close. Lakers still won the game. Game three, Lakers came out with a mission. You saw, if you watched the game, you saw the huddle. Derek Fisher in the middle of the huddle talking to the players and really amping them up and telling them what's at stake here and giving them the business, telling them, look, you know, we're here on this big stage. Let's get it done. And Derek Fisher is a veteran. Derek Fisher has been a big part of those Kobe's five NBA titles. Derek Fisher is Derek Fisher, and he's hit some big shots throughout his playoff career. And also Kobe Bryant has continued to do what Kobe Bryant has always done. And Kobe Bryant last night came out on a mission. You saw that big dunk, and then he scored 30 points. And you just saw he had that look in his eye that, guess what, I'm not going to let my team lose. I don't care what environment I'm playing in. I don't care. I'm going to get it done. This was Kobe's 80th 30-point game. 80th 30-point game. That's crazy. Well, at least over 30 points, I should say. But that's just a crazy number. That's a crazy number. That's winning, as Charlie Sheen likes to say. That is winning. So he's getting it done, Kobe Bryant. And the Lakers, they got it done last night. Again, this series is a lot more competitive than I thought it would be. But I will say this, ultimately, the Lakers will get this thing done. They will win this series, ultimately. They're the better team, and they'll get it done. A lot harder, again, a lot harder than I thought it would be for the Lakers. But, again, they're going to get this done. And I expect the Hornets to win one more game, and it will be 2-2 going back to L.A. But game 5 and 6 will be all L.A. It'll be all L.A. at that point. And the Lakers will ultimately win this year. They ultimately will move on to the second round, and I think who will be waiting for them is the Dallas Mavericks. And Dallas Mavericks are a team that can beat the Lakers. They can beat the Lakers. Let's not get this twisted. The Dallas Mavericks can beat the Lakers. So right now they're still involved in the battle with Portland. They're up 2-1 in that series. Game 3 is today. But I just think Dallas will ultimately get there. And also last night in Atlanta, this was a rough and tough game here. The Atlanta Hawks and the Orlando Magic, if you remember last year, this series was not even close. I mean, every game was a blowout, essentially, in that series last year. But the Magic are a different team, and the Atlanta Hawks are a different team. And last night, Jamal Crawford. The bank was open last night. It was 10:30 at night, and the bank was still open. Jamal Crawford hit that big-time bank shot over Jameer Nelson, and that pretty much put the game away. At the time, the Hawks were up 1, 5.7 seconds left. Jamal Crawford does what Jamal Crawford has done. He's a big-time, big-shot maker, and he made a big shot last night. And he basically put the game away. And how about some physical rough stuff last night? Zaza Pachulia and Jason Richards are getting into it. And, you know, Zaza was giving him a headbutt. Zaza gave him a couple headbutts. And Jason Richardson took exception to that, tried to mush him in his face. Both of the players were ejected. Zaza Pachulia, he's a tough one. He's a tough guy. He'll get into your face. He's not afraid of you. He'll get into your face, Zaza Pachulia. If you remember a couple of years back, he got into it with Kevin Garnett. He didn't back down either. Zaza didn't back down. He didn't come back down. And he didn't back down from Kevin Garnett. He hasn't backed down from Dwight Howard. And right last night, he didn't back down from Jason Richardson. He gave him a couple of headbutts. You wonder what the fallout is going to be from that. Who's going to be suspended? Will Zaza miss game 3? Will Jason Richardson, will he miss game 3 as well? So we'll see what the fallout is with that. But right now, that series is heating up. It's a tough series. It's a battle. I still think the Orlando Magic will win the series when it's all said and done. It's going to be a lot harder, I think, than they wanted it to. And let's be honest, both teams are a little different now. The Hawks are a year better, and some would say the Orlando Magic are a year worse. I mean, the trade, bringing in Gilbert Arenas and bringing in Turkoglu and those guys and Jason Richardson, you figure that things would change for Orlando. Orlando would be a better team. It hasn't truly worked out that way. Gilbert Arenas, for whatever reason, still not the same player, does not seem to have that explosion that he once had that made him an all-star and a 20-point scorer. Doesn't seem to have that anymore. For whatever reason, I mean, granted, you had the knee surgeries and whatnot, but he's not the same player. And if you're an Orlando Magic fan, hopefully that will change in the next year, you know, the next couple of days, let's say, have game 4 in Atlanta. And you want things to change if you're an Orlando Magic fan. But, again, if I'm an Orlando Magic fan, I would not be too concerned right now. You'll be fine. I think you'll go in and you'll win game 4. And you'll take it back to Orlando, and you'll win game 5. And this probably will go 7. This probably will go 7 at this point. I mean, I had this going 6 and with Orlando winning it, but this is probably going to go 7. And it's going to be a tough win, tough battle. Will the Orlando Magic survive? We'll see. Will they survive? And if you're Orlando, at some point you got to start thinking, Dwight Howard will be a free agent at some point. He will be a free agent at some point. He can opt out at the end of next year. He will be a free agent. So what are you going to do to keep him there? What moves are you going to make to make sure that he stays in Orlando? What are you going to do there? So that's going to be some questions that the Orlando Magic are going to have to answer with Dwight Howard. And you're hoping that Dwight Howard will stay if you're an Orlando Magic fan. You're hoping that he sticks around. But again, we'll see what happens. But if you're Orlando, you got to hope, you got to pray that Dwight Howard decides to stay in Orlando. New York may be making a run at him at some point. You got Jersey, who may make a run at him. So we'll see where it goes. And the trend now is a lot of these stars are leaving the smaller markets and going to the bigger markets. Carmelo Anthony did it. LeBron James did it. Chris Bosh, he did it. So that's the trend in the NBA. That is the trend. Will it continue? Will it continue? Will these guys continue to move from the small cities and head out to the big city? Will it continue? If you're the Orlando Magic, there has to be some concern there with Dwight Howard and ultimately deciding where he is going to go and where he will go. If he stays in Orlando, if he decides, you know what, no, I'm not staying in Orlando. I'm going to the big city, New York, Jersey. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But Orlando, you have to start thinking about the possibilities. You have to prepare for the possibilities. So you want to make a run in these playoffs so you can convince Dwight Howard and do some things in the offseason so you can convince Dwight Howard to stick around in Orlando. We'll see what happens. Big games today in the NBA. It's a big day in the NBA. A big day. The playoffs continue. 2:30, you got Chicago at Indiana in a series right now that Chicago is leading 3-0. But a series that has been hard fought, but a series that has been competitive, but a series that has been very entertaining. It's taken some big time efforts from Derrick Rose to keep the Chicago, help the Chicago Bulls go 3-0 in this series. Each game has been competitive. I mean, Indiana easily could have won game one. Indiana probably should have won game one. And game two, again, another close one. Chicago pulls it out in game three. Derrick Rose shot the ball poorly in that game. Did not play his best game. But Derrick Rose found a way to get it done. When the money was on the line, Derrick Rose got it done. And Derrick Rose is the reason that the Chicago Bulls are winning this series. And Derrick Rose is averaging 32.7 points per game in this series. 32.7 points a game in this series. So he's balling. He is getting it done. He is showing the world that he is an MVP. He's getting it done. He's balling. He's getting it done right now. He's telling the world, you know what? I am the MVP for this reason. And you'll see. And you're seeing it. You are seeing it. Why Derrick Rose is what Derrick Rose is. And why Derrick Rose is many people's MVP and probably will be the MVP of this league. It's a foregone conclusion at this point. Derrick Rose will be an MVP. Derrick Rose will be the MVP of this season. You can mark it down anywhere. Guarantee it. Derrick Rose is the MVP of this season. Derrick Rose is proving why and showing why he's the MVP of this season. Derrick Rose is a beast. He's a baller. He's a problem for any team right now. He's been a problem for the Indiana Pacers. But again, I want to give the Indiana Pacers a lot of credit here. Yes, moral victories are really nothing to be proud of, but I want to give him a lot of credit. That team a lot of credit. Frank Vogel has that team playing very well. Psycho T, Tyler Hansborough playing some decent basketball for the Indiana Pacers. And they've been very, very competitive. 8 games under .500, but they're not playing like it. They're playing like a pretty good basketball team. But they're still down 3-0. And again, it's not about moral victories in this thing. It's not about moral victories in this thing at all. But they're down 3-0. They'll get started today at 2:30. Bulls, Pacers. Maybe Indiana steals one today, but ultimately no one comes back from 3-0. So it's pretty much a done series. It's pretty much done. Settle down. You have a Chicago Bulls. They're going to get it done. And if you're a Chicago Bulls, I think you'll want to see the Atlanta Falcons, the Atlanta Hawks in the next round. Because I think the Orlando Magic are a much more dangerous team with Dwight Howard and with those three-point shooters. They're a more dangerous team than the Atlanta Hawks. So I think if you're a Chicago Bulls, you want to see the Atlanta Hawks in the next round. If possible, you want to see the Atlanta Hawks in the next round. You definitely do. Because, like I said before, you have Dwight Howard, but you have those three-point shooters. And with those three-point shooters, those guys have the ability at any point to go crazy. And they go crazy from behind the three-point arc. It's going to be tough for you to beat them. It's going to be very tough for you to beat them. Very tough. It's going to be very tough to beat if those guys are going crazy from downtown. It's going to be tough to beat them. It's going to be tough to beat them. But ultimately, I've heard people say this, but Chicago may have a pretty easy run to the NBA Finals, or at least to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, you have the Pacers again, eight games under 500, the number 8 seed. They're number 8 seed for a reason. And then you have possibly Atlanta or Orlando. If it's Atlanta, I think it's going to be even easier run for the Chicago Bulls. But you have those two teams that you can definitely beat before you hit the big guys, which will be Miami or the Boston Celtics. And again, I have the Miami Heat going to the NBA Finals. So, and the Chicago Bulls, I have some concerns about them. They're very Derrick Rose dependent. Very Derrick Rose dependent. Very Derrick Rose dependent. I mean, 36 in game one, 39 in game two. And, 39 in game one, 36 in game two. But if he did not play the way he played in game one and game two, they would not have won. They would not have won at all. They would not have won. They would not have won. So they are very Derrick Rose dependent ball club. Very Derrick Rose dependent. So when you're so dependent on Derrick Rose, at some point, as you hit the big guy, as you start playing the big guys meaning even the Atlanta Hawks are a lot better team than the Indiana Pacers. Even the Orlando Magic definitely a better team than the Indiana Pacers. But when you start hitting those big guys, which is the Miami Heat, which is the Boston Celtics, at that point, you're going to need some more production. Well, they didn't play well in Game 3 for the Chicago Bulls. Played very well in Game 3, actually. But you're going to need production from those other guys, from the Dangs of the world, from the Boozers of the world. And they're getting it from Kyle Korver in the fourth quarter. I mean, Kyle Korver has been lights out in the fourth quarter, killing it from downtown. And Kyle Korver has been doing what Kyle Korver has done throughout his career. He's a three-point shooter, a knockdown three-point shooter. That's what Kyle Korver is. He's a knockdown three-point shooter. And he's been knocking them down and getting it done for the Chicago Bulls at this point. He's a knockdown three-point shooter. And you can't leave him. He hit that big three-pointer in game one. And then another big one in game two. You can't leave this guy. You can't leave him. And I guess with Derrick Rose there, it's going to be, you can't stick everybody. When Derrick Rose is penetrating and getting through your defense, guys are going to move around. And ultimately, Kyle Korver is going to get some open shots. And he's going to hit them more often than not. That's what Kyle Korver does, and that's what Kyle Korver has been doing. We are now going to be joined by Eagle safety Kurt Coleman. Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. At the Ohio State spring game right now.
And how are things going over there? You liking what you see from the Ohio State team?
Yeah, I mean, they're a young bunch of guys, but, you know, I think they have a lot of talent on the side. So I think these five games, you're really going to see what the team's made of.
And Kirk, we know what you're made of. Kirk, you were a seventh-round pick coming out of Ohio State. And let's be honest, there's a lot of seventh-round picks that don't make the team. What was your mindset going into training camp with the Philadelphia Eagles?
Really just, I really wanted to understand the playbook in and out. I think my whole thing about, if I can understand the defense, I'm able to play as fast as I can and make the plays that I'm supposed to. So for me, it was about understanding the defense, learning it. And that's why I put it all the time before I got to the training camp. I spent time with the coaches and, in the classroom. So it was easy enough for me once I got to training camp to understand the defense so I could be able to play.
And Kirk, you had a very good preseason. I mean, you had those touchdowns against the Jets in the preseason finale. At that point, were you pretty secure that you would make the team?
I was hoping after that happened, I'd steal my fate. But Coach Reed looked at me and he says, you must be doing something good. So after that, I knew I was pretty safe.
And how was it for you going through training camp, your first training camp as a pro? How stressful, how was it for you?
You know, that's the unfortunate part because you don't know what to expect. So I think the uncertainty of what are things and what's going on, I think that brings a lot more stress than if you knew what was going on. So for me, it was really about relaxing myself. When I had downtime, I was able to study, read, get my mind off of football. That way I didn't have to worry too much about the numbers game and what was going on. I was able to go out there and play it during the day.
And Kirk, you contributed very well for the Philadelphia Eagles. You actually got your first start in primetime Monday night against the Washington Redskins. You even had an interception in that game. But going into that game, Kirk, was there a lot of butterflies being that is going to be that it was your first start?
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't have any butterflies. I felt like I prepared well enough throughout the week. I felt like my career, I played in big games in my life. So for this, it was just another time for me to go out and play some football. And after the first play, you know, any jitters that I may have had, they were all gone. So it was actually a fun experience for me. And for us to really get up there quick on the offense, it made it a lot easier for the defensive schemes that we wanted to put in.
We're talking to Kirk Coleman, Eagle safety. And Kirk, you and Jamar Chaney, I mean, you guys, both seventh-round picks, both guys, you came in and you contributed very well to the Eagles' defense. Did you guys kind of use that being a seventh-round pick? Did you use that as any type of motivation?
I don't know if it was motivation. It was just something for me. I felt like I was destined to play in the league. I knew how good I was regardless of what round I may have been drafted. So for me, it was about just getting the reps and the opportunities to get out on the field and play. As far as my round goes, unfortunately, I didn't get the first round money or the second round money. But, you know, eventually everything will come full circle. So I just had to go out there and play my game and use whatever motivation, whether it be me being a seventh round pick, me, you know, not playing right away. I think everything that I had, it was a culmination of me going out there and just playing for the passion of the game.
And, sure, the Eagles defense did have its struggles, especially in the red zone. I mean, they were last in allowing points in the red zone. Could you pinpoint the problem, or did you know what the problem was with the defense in the red zone?
Yeah, I think there was just, you know, I don't know if there was one exact problem, because if that was the case, it probably would have been solved. For us, you know, we had a lot of injuries on defense. And there were times where we weren't getting any pressure on the QB, which allowed them to give them enough time to find a wide-open guy. And on the back end, there were times where we didn't, you know, stay close enough to our guys that we can make a play. So I think it was a combination of between not getting enough pressure, not staying close enough to our guys to make a play, and really just, you know, making the right calls on defense. There were times where we weren't in the right defense. So it was a combination of everything that we wanted to get done and we couldn't get done.
And Kurt, you guys surprised a lot of people, obviously. You won the NFC East. You made the playoffs. You ultimately would lose to the Green Bay Packers. I'm a big Eagles fan, Kurt, and that was the game. It took me a while to get over it, so I can imagine how it is for you. But do you still watch the game, or you've been looking at that game? Do you still kick yourself and say, man, we could have got that victory?
I think about it every moment. Every time I watch the game, you know, I think there was a lot of things that we could have gotten done or done better. But unfortunately, we didn't. We learned a lot. I think Green Bay really showed us, you know, what it really took to make it all the way to the Super Bowl. So I think we learned a lot from the game. I know I did. So next year, when we're in that type of situation, we won't make the mistakes we did before.
And, Kurt, you saw firsthand the speed and the artistry of the one Michael Vick. I mean, how amazing is Michael Vick?
I've been very fortunate to play with some great QBs. Troy Smith, you know, Terrell Pryor in college and now with Michael Vick. I think it's been a tremendous honor to see really what he can do on the field, growing up idolizing this guy. And sometimes I watch him, I think it's a game. I don't know how he did it, but I'm very excited. He's a part of my team and nobody else's.
And Trent, what was the highlight of the season for you?
Hands down, it was definitely at New York when we came back and winning in that thriller fashion. I think that's one of those games that I'm always going to keep with me for the rest of my life. I remember that whole game play by play, so it's something that I'm always going to be able to remember and take with me.
And Kurt, you said at the end of the season that your goal was to get bigger, stronger, and ultimately faster for the next season. How's that process going?
It's going actually really well. For me, I don't think I've ever been this healthy. My body hasn't felt this great in years. I've gained so much knowledge of the game throughout this time. So, for me, when I head back there, I'm focused, and I think it's going to be a great, great season for not only me, but for the whole Eagles.
Has the lockout changed your preparation at all going into this season?
How to say it again?
Has the lockout changed your preparation at all?
The preparation is, I think, just mentally understanding what our defense and now that we got Juan Castillo as our new defensive coordinator, I don't know how he wants exactly to play this defense. But as far as the understanding and the grasp of our defensive terminology, our schemes and everything, I think I have a very good grasp of it. Now it's just all about, seeing exactly how he wants us to play. And that's just going to take time, and hopefully we have enough time during the preseason that we can get it all adjusted.
And speaking of Juan Castillo, he came in. He's the new defensive coordinator, replacing Sean McDermott. And last year, Juan Castillo was the offensive line coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. Was there any surprise on your part when you heard Juan was going to be the defensive coordinator?
I was actually really excited. I had been talking with Juan throughout the season, and I've known his son that plays at Iowa. So him and I have built a nice relationship. On the defensive side of the ball. So I knew that he was ready for the task, especially when he was interviewing with Coach Reed, that he knew the defense inside and out and he was ready for it.
We're talking to Kurt Coleman, Philadelphia Eagles safety. And Kurt, have you prepared for ultimately being the starter this year? Many think you will be a starter this year. Are you preparing like you will be a starter going into the 2011 season?
Hey, Bart.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great opportunity for us going into the 2011 season.
And now, Kurt, Quentin Michael was a guy that you leaned on a lot. You learned a lot from him. And you talked about him a lot. What has Quentin Michael meant to you? Kurt? Hello? Kurt, call back in. Apparently, Kurt Coleman's having some difficulty. He is at the Ohio State spring practice. And Kurt Coleman did some great things for the Philadelphia Eagles this year. He's had a very good year for the Philadelphia Eagles, very good rookie season. He did some decent things for the Philadelphia Eagles. And him and Jamar Chaney, those guys, they stepped in and played some quality football for the Philadelphia Eagles, some quality football. And hopefully those guys can take the next step on the defensive side of football for the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, Kurt Coleman, Jamar Chaney, two guys, seventh-round draft picks. But they came in with the mindset that they can get it done and that they will get it done. They've gotten it done for the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, they've had some good years. They've had a good season. They both of them. And as a Philadelphia Eagles fan, I'm hoping and I'm wishing that these guys will continue to take that next step for the next season. Defense for the Philadelphia Eagles was not one of their strong points. Let's be honest. I mean, it was a struggle on the defensive side of football. And hopefully Kurt can call back in, and because Kurt has a lot of great things going on in terms of charity work outside of football. And again, I always like when anytime I have these athletes on, I really like to talk about their charity, because a lot of times, again, you got Brandon Marshall situation today, but a lot of times we always hear about the negative that these guys are doing, but we don't hear enough about the positive and some of the positive things that these guys are doing in the community Kurt right now. He's doing some great things in the community. Hopefully he can call back. Hopefully we can touch on that, because he's doing some great things in the community. And we definitely, again, always like to promote that and talk about the great things that these guys do in the community, because it's very important. Again, with the Brandon Marshall situation coming out now, it's very important that these guys that people know their work and people see their work and see what the things that they do in the community. It's very important. It's an important thing that we showcase that. And again, Kurt Coleman is a guy who's getting it done in the community, doing a lot of things with breast cancer awareness, but he's doing it with men. And that's big. More often than not, we think about breast cancer and we always think about the women. But we forget the men can get breast cancer too. And I think about that and I say to myself, I mean, I never thought about it, but I guess it's possible. That breast cancer, men can get breast cancer too, and it happened. It happened to Kurt Coleman's father. So hopefully Kurt can call back in and we can talk about that situation. But again, here goes Kurt Coleman. If he can, him and Jamari Chaney and those boys, if they can turn some things around for the defense, it'll be good for the Philadelphia Eagles, and it'll be a great situation for Eagles football in 2011. Hopefully Kurt calls back. But in the meantime, Brandon Marshall, if you haven't heard today, last night apparently Brandon Marshall was stabbed by his wife, actually, stabbed in the stomach. He was in a hospital. He's in a hospital apparently. He was in intensive care, according to some reports. Apparently he will be released today from the hospital. And at this point, his wife has been arrested, has been charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. So, I mean, it's a sad situation, a sad story. I mean, Brandon Marshall has had some issues with domestic violence with his current wife and also with his former relationships, past relationships. He's had some issues with the domestic violence thing. And it's a sad story, obviously. And anytime you see this type of situation, it is always sad. I mean, no one wins in domestic violence. No one wins in that situation. But he was apparently stabbed in the stomach. And right now, reports are he will be released today, this afternoon. Those are the reports at this point. He will be released today. But again, tough situation if you're Brandon Marshall, a guy who signed a big money deal with the Miami Dolphins last year, $47 million, 24 of that, which is guaranteed. So he went there and went to Miami, and there were signs that he was starting to turn things around, starting to change some things, and starting to get his life right, if you will. And this is a setback for Brandon Marshall, but hopefully he will return from it. Apparently he should be fine, according to reports. But hopefully, he will be able to get back out there and play football again. Hopefully. But there's no guarantee at this point with Brandon Marshall. But you kind of feel bad for Brandon Marshall in that whole situation. And you just hope that whatever happens, I mean, we won't know what happens, obviously, until everything shakes out. But hopefully, Brandon Marshall and his wife and everything will get taken care of that. Hopefully Brandon will be out on the field, and hopefully things will get taken care of with him and his wife, and hopefully they can get this thing right. But ultimately, it's a sad story. Definitely a sad story. And again, Brandon Marshall has not been a stranger to this type of domestic violence in the past. But, I mean, you just hope. And ultimately, you pray that things will get right with Brandon Marshall. But Brandon Marshall, again, is expected to be released from a hospital in Miami. He's expected to be released in this afternoon, and hopefully Brandon Marshall will be back out there on the football field, and hopefully everything will work out with him and his wife. Sad story. Definitely a sad story and a sad case right there. And also, I hate to talk about it. I have to talk about it. The NFL lockout continues. It continues. Tina, take it away. it's still going on. It's unfortunately the court order mediation has not worked at this point. Both sides, no progress. They won't meet again until another month. Another month. They won't meet again until another month. That's a long time. That is a long time. Another month. They won't meet again until another month. That's tough. That's a long, 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 long time. Another month. They won't meet again for another month. It is what it is in a lot of ways. I mean, again, it's something I hate talking about. But, you know, the schedule was unveiled this week. You want to talk about the schedule. You want to talk about the exciting times. That is the NFL. You want to talk about all those things. But, unfortunately, you can't because you have to talk about, you have to address what's going on with the NFL labor agreement. And hopefully, well, not hopefully, let's be real, let's be honest. I'm going to put it out there. I've been business out there for a while now. Let me be clear about something. They have made provisions in the schedule. So all the games will be played. But let's be clear about something. All games will be played. No games will be missed. Now, there may be a situation where the dates may be a little different. The when they play may be a little different. Super Bowl may be pushed back a little bit. Maybe. I mean, all those things may be possible. But the way the schedule is set up, the NFL has kind of cushioned himself, if you will, just in case there is some sort of lockout. There's a lockout, just in case the lockout goes longer than expected. So you just hope right now that these two sides will come together. Because let's be honest, look, it's a lot of money being made right now in the NFL. I've said this over and over again. There's a lot of money being made by these players, a lot of money being made by these owners. Most of the owners and the players, but everybody is eating. And everybody is eating very, 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 very well. Everybody's eating well. They're eating well. They're eating well. Everyone is eating well. And that's a good thing. Everybody's eating well. That's a good thing, especially in this economy where you have a lot of people who are really not eating too well. You got a lot of people that are not eating well right now in this economy. But the reality of it is that everybody stands to lose if games are missed. Everybody stands to lose the longer this thing goes on. I mean, training camp is going to be maybe rushed through. Obviously, you're not going to have any of these mini camps. So all these things are going to be rush jobs. And he's just going to rush it onto the field, and everybody's going to be ready to play. Now, hopefully, if you have that type of situation, you may have injuries. You may run into a lot of injuries. You may run into some ragged football. So, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, I think this situation will get taken care of. But, again, it's just a matter of time, a win. And right now, if you look at it, it's not going well if you're a player. It's not going well if you're an owner. But the reality of it all is everybody will be taken care of. Everybody who's possibly worrying or a little upset right now that they may not see their beloved NFL football, let me calm you down for a minute here. Let's hear the soothing sounds of Paul again. Everybody, the NFL lockout will end at some point. No games will be missed. Your beloved football will be back in September. You will enjoy it. You will love it. And everything will be fine. So make sure you just heard the soothing sounds of Paul Gant. And hopefully his voice has soothed you enough and given you a mental massage, if you will, and has helped you to understand that ultimately football will be played in 2011. There will not be any games missed. The NFL has put some provisions in the schedule to make sure this will not happen. Everything will be fine. Don't you worry. You don't have to worry about a thing. 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 I mean, the NFL could conceivably, they can get rid of bye weeks and they could still squeeze this thing in. They can still squeeze in the whole 16 games. It will happen. It will happen. 16-game schedule will be there. All the games will be played. And everything will be A-OK. And even if it doesn't start on time this season, they're still going to find a way to get 16 games in. And if it doesn't start on time, maybe it just ends a little late. Guess what? You have football a little later in the year. So you get football later into the year. So if you're a football junkie, you'll get football later in the year. So be clear, everything will be A-OK. 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 You'll see. You will see. Don't worry about a thing. Please, don't worry about a thing. Don't worry. The NFL will be playing football when it's time to play football. And right now you have the NFL draft, which is scheduled to happen this week. Should be interesting to see how that draft looks with the lockout here. Should be interesting how that thing looks and how things will look with the NFL draft and whether or not all the players will show up. How it'll look. I mean, it's just going to be an interesting thing to see the NFL draft and what happens with it and how things will play out with that. And I wonder where Cam Newton's going to go. I mean, that's a guy who has all the talent in the world, all the ability in the world. You're wondering, I mean, he's a freakish athlete. You're wondering where he may go. Where he may go. You wonder what will happen with Cam Newton. I mean, you're hearing all different types of reports about him, some good, some bad, and you're just wondering what will happen with him and how he will be as a pro. Granted, he's going to be a project. I mean, he's a guy who played in that spread offense at Auburn, and he's going to be a project. He's definitely going to be a project for whoever drafts him. Hopefully, he's not forced into playing before he's ready, because obviously he won't be ready for maybe a year, if not 2 years, to effectively contribute to an NFL roster. He won't be ready. He won't be ready. But it should be interesting to see who picks the one, the icon, the entertainer, that is Cam Newton. It'll be interesting to see who picks him. It should be very interesting. We got to see who's going to pick the icon. We got to see who's going to pick the entertainer, and that is Cam Newton. It should be very interesting to see what happens there. But whoever picks him, please take my advice. Sit him down for a couple of years. Get him right. Get his football ready. And hopefully he'll contribute the way I think he can be, can do in this league, because he has a lot of ability and he can do a lot of things on that football field. It's just a matter of a lot of raw talent there. And hopefully it'll be put in the oven by some team, baked to perfection, and hopefully removed at the right time. So unfortunately, a lot of times we tend to remove certain things from the oven before it needs to be removed from the oven, and then you have a product that is not so good. So we'll see what happens with that situation in Cam Newton. But again, my advice to anybody who picks Cam Newton, whether it's the Carolina Panthers, whether it's the Buffalo Bills, whoever picks this man, again, give him time to simmer, and then you give him time in that oven to bake so he'll come out successful and very well. Give him time because Cam Newton's, again, raw, very raw. But again, he has a lot of talent, an abundance of talent, if you will. So make sure whoever drafts him, keep him in. Sit him down for a couple of years and get his mind right and ready to contribute on this level, which is the National Football League. And I want to go back now to the NBA playoffs. And the NBA playoffs are, again, still going. Again, you got Chicago get started at 2:30 today, which is going to be a game that Chicago, I think, will lose. I think Indiana will get them in this game. I think Indiana will ultimately win this game, and that's about it. But they've shown a lot of pride in this series and played the Chicago Bulls very tough, so I think they'll get this one today. Also, the Dallas Mavericks and the Portland Trail Blazers, big game for Portland, big game for Dallas. That game will get started at 5 o'clock at 10 Portland. Can the Trail Blazers even this series up? 2-2 again. These two teams have been battling in this series, and Portland got the victory the other night, and they got key contributions from Brandon Roy. Brandon Roy, yes, who was in tears because of the amount of playing time that he was getting, and ultimately he would ultimately apologize to his teammates and to the rest of the team about it. But ultimately, Brandon Roy, it was back. Brandon Roy did contribute in that game three. And hopefully, if you're Brandon Roy, he can continue to contribute and continue to do what he has to do and move the chains for the Portland Trail Blazers and help them even this series up. I mean, Brandon Roy is a guy with a lot of pride, and he's come back from a lot. I mean, got two surgeries on his knee. You know, he's come back from a lot. He's come back from a lot. And so he came back, and he just did and played hard and really has given Portland all he's got. He's given Portland all he's got. So give him a lot of credit for doing that. But anyway, he was back for the Portland Trail Blazers. Again, I think the Mavericks will win this series. And I think the Mavericks, will win today. They will win this game today. And they will have a commanding 3-1 lead at the end of this game today. My opinion, just the way I see it, I think Dallas is the better team. And Dallas is playing some good basketball right now, getting the contributions, big contributions from Dirk. Dirk is averaging 28 points in this game. And Jason Kidd, how about Jason Kidd turning back the clock a little bit for the Dallas Mavericks? Hitting those three-pointers, he had 16 game one. I mean, Jason Kidd turning back the clock for the Mavericks. And who would have ever thought that Jason Kidd would ever be a good shooter? I remember they used to call him Aeson, taking off the J because he could not shoot. But whoever would have thought that Jason Kidd would have become the shooter he has become in this league? Who would have ever thought that? But Jason Kidd has become a great, not a great shooter, but a good shooter. And he's doing some big things in this series. So give him a lot of credit and give the Dallas Mavericks a lot of credit and give Jason Kidd a lot of credit. You listen to Go For It on blogtalkradio.com.
Okay. Hey, what up? It's Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Pizzerica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Pauly G and Jeremy. Get it!
C-Live, thank you very much. C-Live, listen, C-Live has been here. Corey Live has been here many times. Corey Almeida, host of Pizzerica. A big time Steelers fan. Well, Corey's also a big time Celtics fan. He loves his green and white, which is the Boston Celtics. He loves that team very much. But again, Corey listens to Go For It. Corey's a big fan and a big guest. Has been a big guest many times on this show. So Corey listens. So make sure you listen. As Corey would say, get it. But anyway, right now, again, the NBA playoffs are in full swing. We went through Dallas, and we're going to also look at the series that has been very, very intriguing, and a series that I'm very intrigued about. Very intrigued about. Very intrigued about. Very, very intrigued about. Very intrigued about. And that is the Memphis Grizzlies and the San Antonio Spurs. San Antonio right now have tied the series in game two. Series is tied one game apiece. Manu Ginobili came back. He did what Manu Ginobili has done throughout his tenure with the San Antonio Spurs, and that's played clutch big-time basketball. But Manu is still banged up. He's gritty. He's tough. He's grimy. He gutted it out in game two. Gutted it out. Big-time battle. He gutted it out in game two. And did the best he could in that game too, for the San Antonio Spurs. But he said that he tweaked the elbow near the end of the game. He said he tweaked the elbow near the end of the game. So We'll see how effective Ginobili will be going into game three. But I'll say this. I will say this. If Manu Ginobili is not 100%, if Manu Ginobili is not 100%, the Spurs could be in a lot of trouble. They could be in a lot of trouble right now. If Ginobili is not 100%, they could be in a lot of trouble. And Gibson gives these Memphis Grizzlies a lot of credit. I mean, Z-Bo, Zach Randolph, is just don't work down well. Marcus Saul also won't work down well. Don't big time work down well for this Grizzlies ball club. And I think I talked about the other day, but Tony Allen, I mean, you signed with the Memphis Grizzlies, and, you know, you figured, okay, Tony Allen, this is Tony Allen. But Tony Allen has come in and really contributed for the Memphis Grizzlies. He's really played some good basketball for the Grizz. The Grizz right now, they have an opportunity, a very legitimate opportunity, to beat the San Antonio Spurs. And I think I mentioned this the other day. But in the regular season, the two times the San Antonio Spurs went to Memphis, both times the Memphis Grizzlies blew them out. Not blew them out, but both times the Memphis Grizzlies beat them. They beat them twice in Memphis. Beat them twice. So they've had this Grizzlies team has had some success in Memphis. Had some big-time success in Memphis. And so this Grizzly team, they defend their home court very well. They're a good team at home. They're a very good team. They're 30-11 at home. So they defend their home court very well. The fans should be out in Memphis, hopefully. I know they have a hard time sometimes getting fans out there, but hopefully fans will come out there and support the Grizzlies today, because the Grizzlies have a legitimate shot, a very legitimate shot to win this series. They have a legitimate shot to win this series. And if they can win this series, this will be a big-time upset. But I heard Charles Barkley say it. Charles Barkley felt that the Memphis Grizzlies would get it done. Charles Barkley said it. He said it. The Memphis Grizzlies will win this series. A lot of people thought Charles was being Charles, and Charles was being stupid. But Memphis has played the San Antonio Spurs very tough. They played them tough in the regular season. They're playing them tough in these playoffs. And again, let me repeat myself. The Memphis Grizzlies, when they played the San Antonio Spurs in the regular season, two times the Memphis Grizzlies have won. So the Memphis Grizzlies can win this series, and they can win these games at home against the Spurs. They have proven it. And if Ginobili is not Ginobili, watch out. Watch out. Watch out. And I think the Memphis Grizzlies may win. I'm going to say the Memphis Grizzlies will win this series with this caveat. They win the series if Manu Ginobili is not Manu Ginobili. If Manu Ginobili can go out there and be effective, the San Antonio Spurs will win the series. If not, then the Memphis Grizzlies will pull off the upset. The 8th seed will be the 1 seed in this series. So we'll see what happens there in Memphis tonight. But I like Memphis to win this series if Ginobili is not 100%. In the final game tonight, 10 o'clock, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Denver Nuggets getting it on tonight in Denver. Game 3 in Denver, a game that I expect the Denver Nuggets to come out with a lot of energy, and a game I expect the Denver Nuggets to ultimately win. I think they'll win tonight. And I think they'll win Game 4 as well. This is a good team in Denver who's played very well since the trade of Carmelo Anthony. They've added Wilson Chandler. They added Gallinari. They added Raymond Felton. And Timothy Mozgov has also given them some key contributions. So this is the thing that with Denver and the Denver Nuggets, I think the Denver Nuggets could ultimately make this a series. And I think they will win these two games again. Always remember this. a series of not starts for a road team with the old adage, a series of not starts until the road team has won. And so this series may not start until game five because I think Denver will find a way to win both of those games. They should have won game one. You had the bad call with Kendrick Perkins, his tipping, which obviously was illegal tipping, but he tipped it in anyway. It was illegal, but then the league has come out and said as such that it was an illegal play. But it stands, and ultimately Oklahoma City goes on to win the game, game one. Game two was just a blowout. Wasn't close. Oklahoma City jumped on those boys early, and they continued to do what they continued to do throughout that game. And also, but I think game three is going to be a different story. I think Denver is going to be the one coming out with the energy. And I would not be surprised if Denver blows out Oklahoma City tonight. Matter of fact, I'm calling. I think it's going to be a blowout tonight. I think it's going to be a blowout tonight. I think Denver's going to blow out Oklahoma City. They're going to come out with a lot of energy. George Karl is going to have this team ready, raring to go. They're going to come out with a lot of energy tonight. I'd like the Denver Nuggets to get it done tonight. And ultimately, I like Denver Nuggets to win game four as well. This series, we'll go back to Oklahoma City tied at two. But I think Oklahoma City will take it from there, winning game five and also winning game six. But this series is not over. It's not over by any stretch of the imagination. This series is not over. It's not over. So if you think it's over, think again. It ain't over. It's not over. Oklahoma City, Denver Nuggets series is not over. But Oklahoma City is in the driver's seat. But I expect a big effort tonight from the Denver Nuggets. I really do. The way they shoot the ball, I mean, they can obviously fill it up with Gallinari, J.R. Smith, Wilson Chandler, and those boys. And I expect them to do some big things tonight. I really do. And ultimately, I expect them to win game three in a blowout fashion. I'm calling it here today. I expect them to win game four in a close affair, but I expect them to lose game five and game six. The second hour of Go For It starts now. Welcome to Go For It. The second hour started. We are expected to be joined by shortly former NBA star Cedric Ceballos. Cedric will give his thoughts on these NBA playoffs. Cedric has played in these playoffs. He's played in the NBA Finals. So this guy knows a little bit about what is going on, what has been going on these past few weeks. So we're going to get Cedric Ceballos' thoughts on these NBA playoffs, and he will be joining us very, very shortly. Also, make sure you stick around for the weekly award, which is called, entitled, You Stupid. And last week, we named a couple people. This week, we're looking to name somebody. And I have someone in mind. I'm zeroing in on someone right now, and I'm close to making a decision and deciding who is going to be stupid this week and who has been stupid this week, and I know who I'm going to pick very shortly, and I will reveal it to you near the end of the show, so make sure you stick around for that one. Somebody's got to be stupid because people do stupid things all the time, and who's going to be stupid? Are you stupid? We'll see who's stupid this week, and should be very, very interesting to see who I pick this week, and make sure you stick around for the great You Stupid Award, because I'm going to give it to somebody. And like it or not, somebody's going to be stupid. Somebody is going to be stupid. And so we'll see who I give the You Stupid Award to this week. I have somebody in mind. I'm going in for the kill. Very, very shortly. Make sure you stick around for that one. Please stick around. Stick around. Stick to end. Stay. Stick and stay. Because I'm going to name something. I'm going to name somebody. And when I do, You will see. You will see. Last night, actually, switching gears to baseball now in MLB, the Philadelphia Phillies, their four aces, well, one of their four aces last night, a solid performance last night by Cole Hamels. Cole Hamels shuts out and shuts down the San Diego Padres last night. The Phillies won the game 2-0. 8 innings for Cole Hamels, and Cole Hamels pitched like Cole Hamels knows how, can pitch like, and he pitched very, very well for the Philadelphia Phillies. He had that bad start to start the season, and then ever since then, Cole Hamels has really stepped it up and did what Cole Hamels had done back in 2008. What Cole Hamels did last year is only if he could get the run support that he so desperately needed. If only if he could have gotten that, things would have been a lot better for Cole Hamels last season. But Cole Hamels pitched well, pitched a gem last night for the Philadelphia Phillies. And those four aces are getting it done right now for the Philadelphia Phillies. They are 13-6 and moving and moving and moving and moving and grooving right now. So give the Philadelphia Phillies a lot of credit right now because they're playing some good baseball. And right now, we're going to continue our NBA basketball talk with the one, the only, former NBA star, Cedric Ceballos. Cedric, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing well. Now, Cedric, last night, a lot of great NBA action. You had the Boston Celtics. They went into a hostile environment at Madison Square Garden, but they did what champions do, and that's win in hostile environment. Is the Celtics team rallying into championship form?
Well, I don't know if that was a hostile environment. You know, Mari's back was down. Chauncey Billups wasn't in there. I really wouldn't call that a hostile environment. And New York is just coming around to the playoff atmosphere. They've been out of the mix for a while. So the New York fans need a little practice on how to get hostile. But
I think so.
You know, they did perform like champions by just getting a win. I think both Boston and Los Angeles are, I don't even know if they're in cruise control, but they just have not clicked on playing their best basketball as of yet. Now, will they? You know, that's yet to be seen. Because if you get Amari healthy and then Chauncey comes back, who knows, you know, what can happen. And also, Lakers are having a tough time over there with Chris Paul. If he gets on fire like game one and Powell doesn't come to play and give him a little offense, you know, it could be some trouble. But they do have the Superman on their bench, with number seven, Lamar Odom, to come in and, totally turn around games. I just love the way, you know, the package plays and it's real effective when he gets on the floor.
And you talked about Lamar Odom has had a great year for the Los Angeles Lakers, and many felt he should have been an all-star, but he didn't win the Sixth Man Award. And speaking of the Lakers, last night you talked about them beating the Hornets and taking back, taking back control of this series. I think the Hornets will get one more, but I think at this point, I think the Lakers will win this series, and I think they'll be fine in this series. How do you see this thing playing out?
Well, it's just a talent. It's just a talent level. First, you start with the Kobe Bryant himself. I mean, you know, his talent is just a far above anybody else's in the league. It's only maybe two or three that can, you know, compete with him. But then, you might catch him on a couple off games, but you're not going to catch him on an off series. That hasn't happened to him since Utah and the infamous air balls. It's just the talent-wise. I mean, Chris Paul is doing his best he can. D-West is out. I even think with him being in there, you know, Landry doesn't play as well as he's playing. The other players don't, because the offense is a little different. You know, this, you got to understand, right, when you scramble that offense, great job by Monty Williams, by the way. You know, he changed up his offense to cater to the players that he had. You know, he's playing poker right now. He's got a terrible hand when David went down, and he turned that hand around and trying to pull out a royal flush because he's mixing them up, giving them confidence to play their game. During the season, some of those guys, some of those shots, some of those possessions would not have happened But, you know, because you have a big horse, you can always go to Chris Paul and Wes going back and forth, either pick and roll or just dumping in him and get out of either one of those guys' way. So he's done a great job by fitting the team to the offense that makes them effective against the Los Angeles Lakers.
And do you think the series would have been any different if David West was there?
It would have been definitely a different scenario. David West is a great player, but like I said, the other players would not have stepped up and played the way they are. They see the opportunity. They see the chance. You kind of get, quote-unquote, stuck in the doldrums when you have a player that you rely on a lot and plays that they rely on a lot. So, you know, David is a guy who I call a ball sticker. He's not a ball hog at all, don't get me wrong. But when he gets the ball, it takes him 3 or 4 seconds to get where he wants to go. He decides, he waits for people to move out of the way. And this Hornet team that's playing now is catch and go. Either you catch it, shoot it, pass it, drive it, whatever. Let's move the ball. And anytime they get in trouble, they hand the ball to Chris. He does his thing, you know, that sense with a low shot clock. But when the movement is really giving the Lakers problems, it's making it difficult for them. Derek Fisher is having a hard time keeping up with Chris. It's great that Blake came back off the chicken pox. You know, you got Matt down there being a tough guy, smacking balls, hitting people, antagonizing. And see, that antagonization, if that's a word, is taken away from the Hornets getting in that comfort zone. They're worried about retaliation, being tough guys, instead of worrying about just staying active, keep moving. The bumps are going to come with it. It's the NBA, the way you play, and the playoffs is just going to, you know, bring that to a heightened level, and the crowd gets you going, and that's where the maturity of the Los Angeles Lakers takes over. The young guys, late in the fourth, that's if you get them late in the fourth quarter, you know, Chris Paul took that game one over, but if you get them late in the fourth quarter, they know how to be calm. They've been in hostile environment. They won in Oklahoma City last year. I mean, they won in Boston. I mean, this team is just really poised, and they know what it takes. Now, is it a button that Phil Jackson has to push? Who knows? But, you know, that's the difference right there. You know, especially, I mean, I love the way Matt just smacks people on purposely accidental, and it gets them agitated, and then they forget about their games. They totally forget. Derek Fisher has been doing it for years. He smacks point guards, you know, gives elbow. He gave one the other day. Yeah, matter of fact, he gave a nice little elbow. And then he came back and knocked down a three. But he knows how to get a technical, smack somebody, and then go back to his game. A lot of people can't do that. They want to go back and smack Derek back and hit him and push him and bump him, and they forget about playing basketball.
Now, during your time in the league, have you ever run into somebody like that?
Oh, everybody. I mean, you go down the line. The best at it was Bill Laimbeer. You know, next to him was Kurt Rambis. Those two of the top teams in the league, Detroit and Los Angeles. And then you go A.C. Green, teammate of mine, three times over. You know, just small things, pinching you, you know, sharp elbows. You know, when you get fouled, they foul you again. You know, knowing that you're a right-handed shooter. You know, they foul you, then they smack your hand, so you go to the free throw line with a stinging hand. You know, little things like that, you know, just throw you off. You setting up to shoot the free throw, and they walk in front of you. And you like, you know, you just got to stay focused, you know. Michael Jordan learned the best when they had the Jordan rules, and Detroit was just beating them up. Everybody was beating them up. The biggest thing that they did was not beat up Michael Jordan. Obviously, he can come back and recover and play well during the intensity. You don't feel all those aches and pains, but the agitation that Michael was getting from Detroit beating him up, man. He just was looking at people and snarling and wanting to hit him back. And once he got over that and he got Scotty and Horace and everybody else to get over that, that's when they became the team that they became, you know, three-time champions, two times in a row.
And, Cedric, another team out there who many believe can win and ultimately will win the NBA title, that's the Chicago Bulls right now. Their best player, Derrick Rose, has been playing big time, 39 in game one, 36 in game two, and another big game-winning layup in game three. But I'm looking at this Bulls team, Cedric, and I see a team that's very Rose-dependent. How do you see the Chicago Bulls team?
Well, first things first, I'm not really bitter or hating or putting the guy down. He's an excellent player, D. Rose. I'm just not ready for somebody else to be MVP besides Michael Jordan when it comes to Chicago, but he is going to be MVP. He's very talented. He's got that team's confidence up. Coach has got the system down, but you are absolutely right. They are Derrick Rose dependent, and, you know, even in his bad game, he bailed him out in the end. But where do you go after you find a Derrick Rose stopper, after you find a bad shooting day or a bad shooting series from him?
Right.
That's when you have the difficulties. Obviously, if Orlando moves on and have an opportunity to face him, you know, he can definitely dominate Nelson. But if Atlanta moves on, it's going to be tough. Because you got Joe Johnson, you got Crawford. Now he's got to defend as well as try to finish on the other end offensive-wise. And that's where the problem comes and everybody steps up. Everybody says Luol Deng is a new and improved of myself, but with a jump shot. And he can get his points. He can do his thing. But, you know, I think you nullify what the other players do if Derek is not doing what he does. I mean, you know, I just think Derek, even though he's not scoring, he puts people in great position to score and
right.
other things because of the attention that he gets and also the defense he draws for kicks and layups and offensive rebounds for Deng and the rest of those guys.
And we're talking to Cedric Ceballos, former NBA star. And Cedric, you talked about the Atlanta Hawks, and right now the Atlanta Hawks are up 2-1. Jamal Crawford and the probable shot banks it, and that, I mean, the crazy shot. But, hey, it's the NBA playoffs, things happen like that. But you talked about the Atlanta Hawks, and if they can get by the Magic, how much of a test they would be for the Chicago Bulls. But should the Atlanta Hawks get past the Orlando Magic in this series?
I think they can get past. Larry Drew, a great coach. He's, you know, been under great coaches for years. Offensive-wise, I think they have a poison that just can't be dealt with, and that's Al Horford. I mean, the guy is an undersized center, but he steps out. It's unorthodox the way he plays. He plays hard. He plays with a sense of urgency. Like, he's constantly trying to prove to you that, yes, I can play this position and play well. The problem, I think, with Orlando is guys are just resting on their laurels. Dwight Howard's definitely taking advantage. He's taking it personal. I think Nelson is taking it personal, but the rest of the guys are just, you know, going through the motions. If they win, they win. They expect it to
right.
be out. Everybody's talking about Miami. Everybody's talking about Boston. Now they're talking about Chicago. They're falling into the quote-unquote disrespected because, you know, because they've been in the finals and then they lost and then, you know, that whole thing. Hey, you got to suck it up and play. Each and every year is a new challenge. There's a new team. They dismantled that team. They brought that team back. They took a little bit from Phoenix and brought the guys back, brought Turkoglu home, the opportunity
right.
for him to get in the comfort zone and playing well. But, you know, Jason Richardson was playing unbelievable in Phoenix. He got the move over Orlando, continued to play well. Turkoglu turned it on, and then they got lost. And maybe
right.
they're looking ahead. They beat Atlanta. I think they beat Atlanta two times already. They're looking ahead and not concerning themselves with a dangerous weapon in Jamal Crawford and Joe Johnson and the head coach Larry Drew. Because, it, you know, when you Kobe Bryant said it best, it's hard to beat a team five times in a row when they
right.
went up against the Hornets. The same scenario here. You guys have been beating up on Atlanta for so long. Obviously, they're going to learn. They got a different chemistry now. They got rid of Mike Bibby. They put a more team concept in, more movement, not as stagnant. And then when you got Joe, and both Joes to be finishers, it's tough because you don't know where it's coming from. Either one of those guys, you know, will finish it for you. If you really need a buzzer beater, then you go to Crawford. If you need to contain the lead and make sure you get a good bucket, then you go to Johnson. Both great players, you know, both got to be, you know, in the top 20 in the league. So it's going to be tough to see if Orlando can bounce back from that. But, you know, Van Gundy has tricks up his sleeve, too. And Dwight Howard has got to be one of the best defensive players to ever play the game. So he can change the game.
And we're staying in Florida, Cedric. You got the big three in Miami. Right now, I think they're peaking at the right time. Granted, they are playing the Philadelphia 76ers. But it's looking like this thing is coming together. What do you think about the Miami Heat?
Well, Well, I love the Heatles, man. I just, you know, the whole thing from day one when the announcement that he's taking his talents to South Beach, from Chris Bosh added on to there, and then, you know, D-Wade just embracing him in the whole city. I just love it. I think it's great for basketball. I think it was obviously excellent for Miami. Three great guys put together, you know, something I wouldn't say against the owners or against the system, but it just had never been done. So once you do something first, you know, everybody criticized Jackie Robinson for doing what he did. You know, he was the first one. So we all reaping the benefits from him. But this is just something new and something different. You know, it's shocking. You know, if they end up winning it this year, next year, you know, and speaking of that, everybody really forgot, you know, they're – When they made the big announcement, had the big press conference in Miami, they said, no, we're not winning it this year. They even said that. They said, yes, it's going to take some time. It take 1 or 2 years for us to get this thing going. And then they said, yeah, we'll win one champion, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, but, you know, and if things don't work out, you know, it's right. They're right on their schedule. It's about their schedule. I mean, we have expectations for them to be this super team, and we know that hadn't happened, and we know that won't happen in such a short period of time. And I don't think it'll happen with Adonis on the sideline anyway. He was the big punch of them winning the championship the first time, and I think he is the key. I mean, you add him and his 15 to 20-foot jumper, and his ability to not want the ball. See, that's the biggest thing about this team. Are you effective enough not to have the ball, and then we come to you late in the fourth quarter and need a bucket, and you hadn't touched the ball since the first quarter, and you knocked that shot down? I think Adonis can do that, and he's patient enough.
Yes,
and he won't sit over there and get frustrated, and he won't say, hey, Spoelstra, let's have a meeting, man, because I think I should be used more. Or I'm not contributing to the team. You know, that's what he brings to the table, and he is the watchdog. When somebody comes in there and they do something to one of the Heatles, you know, he stops them at the gate. Hey, we're not gonna have you hitting this person and pushing this person down. And you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like when Wayne Gretzky played for the Kings. They always had somebody in there as an enforcer. You know, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Chris Bosh do not need to be getting in there pushing people around like, you know, Orlando did against Atlanta. You know, that might cost them awarded it yet, but that might cost some games, and that shouldn't happen.
Definitely. I mean, Petroia and Richardson, I'm expecting at least one from that altercation yesterday. At least one for both of them.
And it's going to happen. It's the playoffs. It happens, man. You know, it happens. You talk loud as you want to. That's fine after the big hit. And then you go to the free throw line and you make your free throws. It's going to happen. Just prime example when Derek Fisher hit the guy in the head. I mean, you get the foul. You got the technical. All right, what else do you want me to do about it? I mean, it's done. You know, fighting is going to get fines. It's going to get a penalty to your team. You know, it's just really unnecessary. That's one thing I thought about in with Orlando, with Dwight and his fouls and his technicals. And it's like, come on, you're not proving a point. All you're doing is hurting your team. Yes, we know you're the biggest, baddest person in the paint. Only way we can stop you is at the free throw line. So, you know, call Shaq up. Hey, Shaq, how do you deal with it? Hey, you just deal with it.
I was going to bring that up. Shaq dealt with it very well. And Dwight does have to find a way to deal with that situation. Now, they're going to go out west with the San Antonio Spurs. I think this team may be in trouble, especially with the uncertain health of Ginobili. I believe if Ginobili is not Ginobili, the Grizzlies can win this series. How do you see this thing playing out?
Well, for the last 3 years, I have picked preseason San Antonio for beat champions. When they first got Richard Jefferson, I thought that was a young piece with athleticism that they can go to for 3 quarters. Because I think San Antonio has to be one of the top fourth quarter teams in the league. So the first 3 quarters, they really need somebody to step up and score between 15 and 20 points a game, and take the relief off of Duncan scoring 20, 30 points. Take the relief, or Ginobili, you can't really stop him from running around. He's going to rip the run. That's just his game. But it keeps Tony Parker off the floor and injuries. But, you know, it didn't work out with him his first year. Then the second year, they got injured, and then Phoenix had to dominate Amari Stoudemire. So, you know, they ran into a superstar. That's, you know, that's bad news for San Antonio. This year they were
definitely
playing just like I had planned them to play, and then all of a sudden late injuries kind of hurt their stride. So who knows, maybe they're just, you know, a sigh of relief. But I think the way Ginobili played last game is enough to beat Memphis. I think it's the same scenario with Los Angeles and New Orleans. They just don't have the fourth quarter and the experience. Yes, they are a beast that you backed into a corner, and now they're going to come out and giving it their all, and they're going to give it a great effort. Zach Randolph, unbelievable, deserved every penny of his contract. He just had to find a home. He had it all along. He just needed to find a home and a place that be conducive to what he does on the basketball court. Lionel Hollins mixed the match, put him in the right scenario. Pau Gasol is a superstar in the making. Excuse me. Gasol is a superstar in the making.
Yeah.
And we just have been watching Pau for so long that we forget about, you know, hey, his brother can play too. And obviously they work together. They talk together. So why wouldn't it be, you know, righteous for his brother to teach his brother, you know, certain things, way to do things, how to move, how to this, that, and the other in the off season, and maybe even sometimes during the season, who knows? But their nucleus is good. It's coming together. They had some turmoil before, but you guys are just being young, not wanting to get along. But once they realize the market, their team, they're not going anywhere. You know, I think Lionel Hollins a key to all that chemistry coming together. Once you get him in the comfortable, once you got him in the comfortable contract, that he can speak with a little authority. You know, because it's tough sometimes when you got a little title above your head coach, that you're the interim head coach, and or you only have 1 year left on your contract, or let's see if this works out. Head coach, and it's tough. But when they say, hey, this is our coach, we're rolling with him, and you could talk to players a little different, because you don't want to talk to players when your job is concerning. You know, they're gonna come to Rudy Gay, they're gonna come to OJ,
right.
Say, hey, what are you thinking about? So no, you don't want to get in there and chomp on their, you know, egos to try to get them to play, and they take it the wrong way. But both of those players have came along, even though, you know, he's down now, Rudy's down now, but both of those players have matured and came along and really blossomed that team into a well-contending team.
And the future is definitely bright in Memphis. And speaking of the future and what's going on now, Oklahoma City commanding 2-0 lead against Denver. This squad, they added Kendrick Perkins. Many believe with the addition of Perkins, they can win it all. Will they win it all, Cedric?
Well, that's tough. It depends. It depends on the other team's play. You know, if both teams are up to par, Lakers are playing great, Spurs are playing great, no, they can't win it all. Even though Oklahoma is playing great, too. If they're playing against the Lakers or the Spurs and they're all at full caliber, full blast, no, they can't win it all. I just don't think Perkins has enough weapons behind him like he did in Boston with KG, with Big Baby. You know, I just don't think he has enough weapons to battle with him, to go in and say, hey, we have 15, 16, 17 fouls we can give. Let's go to the fullest. Let's give some key tip-ins, some key offensive rebounds. Chewbacca is playing great, but will he do that fourth quarter, game five, game six, game seven? You know, that eliminated them last year. You know, one box out. They played great defense on Kobe, missed the box out, end up getting eliminated from the series. So it's a tough scenario. You can't, you know, with those teams at full speed ahead, injury-free, I don't think they can beat San Antonio or the Lakers. But I do think we're the state that both those teams are in right now, they're a leading candidate to come out of the West. If the Lakers continue to play the way they're playing now, San Antonio continues to play the way they're playing now, Kevin has got that team full blast. They have a great time together. They do everything together. I think the leaders are him and Westbrook are just taking that team over and say, hey, this is where we're going to be. If you don't want to fall suit on how we're playing and what we're going to do, you know, Scotty Brooks and say, hey, I'm going with these two guys. They're my guys. If they say so, you roll with it. If not, you have to be eliminated.
And how about one of your former team secretaries, the Dallas Mavericks, right now? They're up 2-1 against the Portland Trail Blazers. Many think the Dallas Mavericks can dethrone the Lakers. Can they do it, Cedric?
Dallas Mavericks have an attitude right now, and it's a good attitude. You know, Jason Terry's swagger is really high right now, which is great. Is he bitter about the sixth man of the year? I'm not really sure, but he's playing with a lot of intensity. He's always played at the high level, but I think now he really feels that window is closing. Jason Kidd and the addition of my man, fellow Dominguez High School, Tyson Chandler, man, unbelievable. Get him healthy. Get him back. It's really key. You know, for years, Dallas has had great teams, but they've always had the second or third or fourth player that wanted the ball. He wanted the ball,
right.
And you can't want the ball on this team because, one, Jason Kidd can control everything. He will take care of you if you let him take care of you. And secondly, it has to go through Dirk. So when it goes through Dirk and you're not used to that, you stand around and you just don't get it done because you stand around and you're not used to that. You have to feel your way through that. It took some adjustment for Sean Marion because he was given a gift of playing with Steve Nash. You know, 20, 30, 40 points for him was no problem because Nash would hand out 15 assists and 10 of them would be lobs to him, and it's great. So you got to understand, hey, pick your spots, wait your turn, the ball will be there, and, things will happen. But on the flip side, Portland can't really turn it around and put themselves back in the lead of this thing because of the length, the enthusiasm that Gerald has brought, the opportunity, the opportunity that Brandon Roy had made aware that, hey, I want to be involved. It's not because I'm not healthy, but I am a competitor. Maybe his methods may have been right, may have been wrong. I don't know. Maybe closed doors. Who knows? But it shows like, hey, I'm a competitor. I need to be out there. I want to compete. If I can give you 15 minutes to 30 minutes, great. But and then Wesley has something to prove too. You know, Wes Matthews has something to prove too. Like, I'm not a fluke. Even though, yes, my dad played, I want to prove to everybody that it's my turn. This is what I want to do. And, Aldridge's length, his length, man, is just unbelievable. He's playing on a mission. He's playing with a purpose. He's got the snub going for him. The more they go in the playoffs, the more he shoves it in people's face that I should have been an all-star because I'm not dunking flashy or I'm not getting a double-double on a losing team. I can play this game. And that's basically, why both of those players made the All-Star team. I mean, Blake's a great player. Flashy dunks. Kevin Love's a great player. But both of them were on bottom teams. And
right.
you snub Lamar. You slub Lamar and you slub DeMarcus, and you just—it's just wrong. I mean, they played on winning teams; they're playing well, and just because we want to add a little bit more flash or we want to add a little bit more storyline to the All-Star game, we put those two players in there, which is very wrong. But I'm not picking the teams; I'm just giving you my opinion.
Well, you thought Kevin Love should have been an All-Star, even with all the double doubles and the great year he had in Minnesota?
No. I think anybody in this league can be an all-star with the minutes. Anybody in this league can be an all-star with the minutes. Okay, so if I'm out there on the floor long enough, I'm going to be an all-star. It's just plain and simple. I'm out there long enough either if I want to play. I'm not taking away from Kevin Yang. Very talented. Great. But if you're out there and you're getting double-doubles every night, and that's the biggest headline on your organization is let's get Kevin some more double doubles instead of wins. No, I don't. No, you don't deserve to be an All Star game.
And now, Cedric, speaking of the All Star game, I wanted to get your opinion on the dunk contest. As we know, you won the dunk contest back in 1992. You had the blindfold dunk a great dunk, by the way. This year you had Blake Griffin jumping over the car. I got to get your thoughts on that particular dunk.
Well, I was the first player to add props that were outside props, not a chair, not a person, you know, stuff like that, not an extra basketball. So, and when I did it, I had already won the contest. So I think it adds to it. It's a showtime. It's, you know, it's
right.
Major League Baseball home run derby where the guys come up there with the hat backwards and not the official uniform on. I mean, it's Michael Jordan started it off by wearing his name brand jumpsuit instead of wearing the uniform in the first round. We're all sweats. I mean, you know, it's just, it's for the fans. So, you know, why not add all the tricks, add all the excitement, add the extra baskets, the car, you know, the choir. I mean, it's about putting on a show. You know, it's not about, okay, let me go back and see if his foot was on the line for a game-winning three. It's about let's do the craziest, freakiest, unbelievable, like, no, he's not going to jump over a car. Why, you know, I can't believe he brought a choir out. I can't believe he holding three basketballs. You know, that stuff right there is what it's about. It's, you know, it's about a young kid doing something crazy, taking it to the next level, and having the kid at home watching TV or the father son who bought tickets, and they're watching it going, man, I want to see something unbelievable. And I thought that was great.
And I'm looking at this dunk contest. You got the cars coming out, all the different props. I'm thinking to myself, at some point, somebody may get hurt. Do you see that happening?
I don't really see anybody getting hurt. I really see somebody getting embarrassed. You know, and we've seen it before. You know Chris Anderson. You know, with the 20,000 attempts. You know, I mean, it's kind of embarrassing. But I don't think anybody goes out there and tries a dunk where they get hurt. Obviously, Blake did the dunk and held onto the rim and hurt his arm a little bit. But I don't see them going out there and seriously blowing an ankle or tearing an ACL or, you know, pulling a muscle or something like that. I think you kind of know your limits to what you can and can't do. And, you know, you go out there and attempt it. And if it goes, great. If it doesn't go, great. Like, you know, because that was my motto with the blindfold. I had already won. You know, if I ran into the post or I, you know, fell crazy or ran into the stands or missed completely, if people will still be talking about it like they're talking about it now. I'm just glad they're talking about me making the dunk instead of me running into the post or something like that, you know.
Right. Cedric, right now, you're doing work on the 1 and 2. I see you're getting your DJ on. What's going on with Cedric Ceballos right now?
Oh, yeah, I do. Turntables was my hobby since I was a 12-year-old kid. So I just, you know, just find my ways. I'm nearly not a going out person. I don't like the club scene, but I do like spinning records. And the only time I can get an audience is at, you know, family functions, bowling alleys, at clubs. So I just continue doing that. I do a lot of voiceover, do a lot of MCing. I do a lot of stuff, just basically a bunch of stuff that I really enjoy doing. And I did when I played. I enjoyed music. I DJed when I played. I enjoyed talking to them. I was never a trash talker. I was always a guy making fun of stuff out there, talking to the fans, high-fiving them when I'm going by, or getting them involved in the game when I could during timeouts and stuff like that. A real likable person with people that are on my team or people that I'm playing against. And that's just, you know, just basically what I'm doing now, the same thing, just having fun, enjoying it. And, you know, this is going on 20, 25 years in the NBA, and hopefully I can continue for the rest of my life.
And are you going to start rapping again, Cedric? I know you came out with a couple albums. Can you do that in the future?
No more rapping. I have definitely hung that up. You know, that was it was fun. You know, I enjoyed it. They had the NBA compilation album, but I still got some skills, but being a 40-plus-year-old rapper, man, it's tough unless you already made it, you know what I'm saying? If I was already selling albums already, like, you know, when Zach retires, if he started going on tour, you know, that's kind of cool. If he needed a DJ, he needed to holler at me But for me, starting basically starting a rap career at my age, it'll be kind of a little difficult. But I still have my studio, still have all my stuff. Every now and then I create a song just for myself. My kids laugh at it, and that's about it.
If you can't take a quick freestyle about the NBA playoffs?
No, not a freestyler. I have to sit and think and contemplate and come up with all kind of gimmicks and gadgets, man. I can't. Those guys, Eminems and Jay-Z's and Weezy's, they let them do all that.
Now, Cedric, we got to get your prediction here. When it's all said and done, who will be in the NBA Finals and who ultimately will win the NBA Championship?
Well, I see this is who I want to be in the Finals. Like I said, I always have picked San Antonio for 3 years in a row. I want them to be in the Finals against Miami, and Miami beat San Antonio. But I really don't think that's, at this point, going to happen. So it looks like it's going to be some newcomers in there. I welcome Kevin Durant going to the Finals against, I still want to pick Miami coming out of there. But then you never know. Depends on the unit of the Chicago Bulls. If they come up, step right up for the next series, and after that, the next series. I really do. You know, I think Derrick Rose is on a roll right now. And he can carry him there, but he's stoppable, as we've seen. But is LeBron,
right,
D-Wade, and Chris Bosh, is those three individuals stoppable? So that's what's so incredible about that team, that you have, everybody has one, but they have three. You know,
definitely.
Obviously you wouldn't put Chris Bosh on the same level as D-Wade and LeBron, but if he was still in Toronto, he would be their go-to guy. So now you got three go-to guys. And, you know, D-Wade, hey, you're not having a good one. LeBron, take over. LeBron and D-Wade not having a good one. Hey, Chris, I need 30 from you. That's very rare that all three of them will be having an under 20 night. And all you need is one or two of them to have one of those nights. And then, they're going to win their basketball game.
Definitely. So I'm clear, you have Oklahoma City. You have the Chicago Bulls in the Finals?
Right now I got the Oklahoma City against Miami.
Okay.
If Chicago Bulls supporting cast did not come. If they come to play, I have Chicago and Oklahoma City in the Finals.
And
I can give it a toss. I grew up watching a lot of the other Oklahoma City guys, Westbrook and UCLA, so I don't know, man. It might be Kevin's time, And everybody talk about, hey, Kobe's going to pass Kareem in points. Well, if you do the mathematics, Kobe passes Kareem, LeBron passes Kobe, and Kevin passes LeBron. So, it might be his time, and, depending on how the chips fall, on who wants it more.
And, Cedric, where can we find information about you?
Man, I'm a nut on Twitter. I never go to sleep because sleep is for suckers. So you can follow me on Twitter at sensabalos.com. Or, the website is getting worked on now, sensabalos.com. And just keep looking for me, man. I got just had a story on ESPN about the whole NBA and card playing and gambling outside the lines. And I'll be doing some more ESPN work towards the first of the month. And, just keep being me. I'm findable.
Definitely, Cedric. It was a pleasure talking to you, sir. We wish you nothing but the best of luck in the future. We'd love to have you back.
Anytime. Just let me know.
Take care.
Bye.
Cedric Sabalos, former NBA star. And Cedric right now, Cedric Sabalos is doing the DJing thing right now. And he has Oklahoma City Thunder getting it done with Durant and Westbrook and those boys. Should be interesting. I like the Miami Heat to get there, and I think the Lakers will also get there as well with the Los Angeles Lakers. Three-peating and getting it done. Pleasure talking to Cedric Sabalos. So make sure you check him out. Follow him on Twitter, Ced Sabalos. So make sure you follow him on Twitter, Ced Sabalos. It's a Twitter name. Make sure you go there. Check him out, and make sure you follow the show on Twitter, Go For It Can. Check it out. When you're on Twitter, check out Ced Sabalos, and also check out Go For It Can on Twitter. Check it out, check it out, check it out, check it out. Another 15 minutes left to go in the show. And again, a lot of great things going on in the NBA. It is the most wonderful time of the year. And speaking of that, Sacramento Kings fans, Sacramento, those are great fans. And as of right now, many believe that there was talk that they would move the franchise to Anaheim. But right now, it looks looking like, at least for now, at least for next year, that the Sacramento Kings will stay in Sacramento. And that's a great thing. I mean, come on. Keep the Kings in Sacramento. That, those fans, they support their Kings team. They support them very much so. I mean, you had the Cowbells and everything. You had the heyday of the Sacramento Kings. We had Chris Webber and D-Rock and Doug Christie and Mike Bibby there in early 2000. I mean, those guys were giving the Lakers fits and taking the Lakers to the end. And they had a nice little rivalry with the Sacramento Kings, Sacramento Queens, as Shaq would call them, in the Los Angeles Lakers. But again, those fans, they support their franchise. They support their franchise. So please, please, I think it's a great thing to keep Sacramento in Sacramento. And I think that's where they belong. They belong in Sacramento, definitely, hands down, no doubt about it. So let's make sure that gets the home. Let's hope and pray that the Sacramento Kings stay in Sacramento, because that's a great fan base and that's a great franchise, and it belongs in Sacramento. And also, going back to the playoffs now, Shaquille O'Neal may make his playoff debut in Game 4, which is tomorrow in New York. Shaq has been battling that calf injury. I mean, it looked like, I mean, you saw it. I was thinking to myself, that was an Achilles. The way he looked back there, and it looked like something hit him in the Achilles, or the calf, if you will. But Shaq may return Game 4. Maybe you keep Shaq out another game and bring him back in the second round, because you're not going to need Shaq to beat the Miami Heat. Not the Miami Heat, the New York Knicks. But you may need Shaq to beat the Miami Heat. But right now, the Boston Celtics are getting some good plays from Jermaine O'Neal, who's playing some very good basketball for them. And he's doing what they need him to do. Jermaine missed most of his regular season, but who wants Jermaine O'Neal for money time? And money time is the NBA playoffs. And right now, Jermaine O'Neal is back. Jermaine O'Neal is contributing. And Jermaine O'Neal is playing some pretty good basketball for the Boston Celtics. So if I'm the Celtics, I sit Shaq down, bring him back in the next series, and kind of take it from there. That's what I would do. Again, it's not my call, but it's just my opinion. This, I'm going to name the U Super. I'm going to give out the U Super Award shortly. But I want to talk about a boxing match from last week. That was the fight, Vicious Victor Ortiz against Andre Bodo. And we had Andre Bodo on the show talking about the fight and previewing the fight. But that fight was a slugfest. If you missed that fight, you missed a very, 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 very good fight. I mean, that was a slugfest. Back and forth, those boys were just getting it on. Getting it on. I mean, there was no regard for human life in that particular fight. I mean, it was three knockdowns in the fight, two by Ortiz, one by Andre Berto, and those guys were just, it was a slugfest. It was a slugfest in Connecticut. It was a big-time fight. That sixth round, I remember that sixth round, Berto dropped Ortiz, and he had Ortiz in trouble. And you saw the referee, Ortega, Michael Ortega. It looked like he was going to jump in. It looked like he wanted to jump in, but he didn't jump in. He let the fight go, and ultimately Victor Ortiz turned the tables, dropped Andre Berto, and the fight was just great. It was a slugfest. But Vicious Victor Ortiz got the victory. Vicious Victor Ortiz is now the new WBC welterweight champion. And again, it was a big fight. And I was about to tell all of you, and that was going to be the U Super Award. The U Super Award was going to be for anybody who did not see that fight and who did not watch that fight. Because if you didn't watch that fight, you're stupid. You're stupid. If you didn't watch that fight, you stupid. But But anyway, it was a heck of a fight. It was a battle. These two went at it. And, you know, Victor Ortiz brought it to Andre Berto early in the fight. He dropped him in that first round. And you got the sense there that Ortiz could stop him there. But also I got the sense that Berto dropped Ortiz in that sixth round that maybe Berto was about to stop him. But anyway, Berto kept fighting. But Ortiz kept fighting. And ultimately, Ortiz would drop Andre Berto. And ultimately, Vicious Victor Ortiz will go on and get the unanimous decision, 114, 112, 114, 111, and 115, 110, all to the victor and new WBC welterweight champion, Vicious Victor Ortiz and Andre Berto. Hopefully these two will have a rematch, and hopefully Andre Berto and Victor Ortiz will get it on again, because that was exciting. That was a slugfest, and that was a great fight. That is great boxing, ladies and gentlemen. And these two got it on. Big-time fight between two big-time hitting punchers, two big-time punchers, Victor Ortiz and Andre Berto. And Andre Berto showed a lot of heart. You know, whether he lost the fight, but he showed a lot of heart, a lot of grit there in that particular fight. And he kept hitting back up and kept going at it. But ultimately, Victor Ortiz was a little too much for Andre Berto. Give Andre Berto a lot of credit, though, again. He came back, he battled. But it wasn't enough. Vicious Victor Ortiz gets the W's. And now it's that time, everybody. It's that time. Bring the noise. I got my crowd into it now. They're ready to go. It's that time. It's time to unveil the person who will be stupid this week. And the person I'm going to choose is Cincinnati Reds pitcher Mike Leake. Mr. Mike Leake, ladies and gentlemen, was arrested for stealing six shirts that was worth roughly $60. So he stole $60 worth of shirts. And what he did, apparently, he apparently tried to change the tags on the T-shirts, apparently. And ultimately, in doing so, they said he tried to steal, and he did steal, apparently, from the store. He took the shirts, ladies and gentlemen. He took the shirts. But let's look at Mike Leake's salary. Back in 2009, Mike Leake was given a signing bonus of $2.7 million. $2.7 million back in 2009. He was given a signing bonus of $2.7 million. $2.7 million. $2.7 million. $2.7 million. $2.7 million. That is a lot of money. And that was a lot of shirt. Mike. Why would you steal T-shirts? Why would you steal shirts from Macy's? $2.7 million signing bonus back in 2009. You're making $425,000 this year. That is your salary. Why would you steal T-shirts? Why would you steal shirts from Macy's? Mike, that doesn't make sense. That just doesn't make sense, Mike. That does not make sense. Why would you affect your career like that? Over some shirts. Mike, you're rich. You're rich. Come on, I said he removed the price tag. So he actually removed the six security tags at the store and just took off and left without paying. Mike, that's not smart. That's not bright. Quite frankly, Mike, that's stupid. And Mike Leake, you're stupid. There you have it. Mike Leake, my nominee for the U Stupid Award. And also, anybody that did not see or watch Demetrius Victor Ortiz and Andre Berto fight from last Saturday, guess what, my friends? You stupid too. So, there you have it. Fight Week. Anybody that didn't watch Andre Berto and Demetrius Victor Ortiz, you guys are stupid. You stupid. They are stupid. Very, very stupid for not watching that fight. Come on. Please. Mike Lee. In the future, don't do that again. Thank you. Yours truly, Paul Gann. Don't do it again, please, Mike. Please. And hopefully you learned a valuable lesson, and won't do that again. And hopefully everybody, next time Andre Berto and Vicious Victor Ortiz are fighting, make sure you watch it, because that, my friend, was a great fight. So just so we're clear for today in the NBA, I have the Pacers, the Mavericks, the Grizzlies, depending on the health of Manu Ginobili, and the Denver Nuggets winning today. I have those teams winning today, so make sure you watch those games. And just so you remember, keep it in your head, Paul Gann had the Indiana Pacers. Paul Gann had the Portland Trail Blazers. Excuse me, Dallas Mavericks winning. Paul Gann has the San Antonio Spurs losing to the Memphis Grizzlies. And Paul Gann has the Denver Nuggets beating the Oklahoma City Thunder today. So make sure you pick those games. Paul Gann said it. He locked, guaranteed lock. Pacers, Grizzlies, Mavericks, and the Denver Nuggets. Another 3 minutes left to go in the show. Again, we want to thank Kirk Coleman for stopping by right now. Kirk is doing some great things in the community in terms of breast cancer awareness with the men. Make sure you check Kirk Coleman. Check it out. Make sure you check his Twitter page, K4 Coleman, where you can find out some more information about Kirk Coleman, because Kirk Coleman is doing some great things in the community. So give him a lot of credit. Again, K4 Coleman on Twitter. Check it out. Follow my man Kirk Coleman on Twitter and check out some of the great things he is doing in his community, which is always a good thing. And also make sure you check out Seth Sabalos. Seth Sabalos is on his Twitter page, and Seth Sabalos, again, is doing some great things. He's a DJ right now, getting his DJ on, doing his work on the ones and twos, and the man knows basketball. He knows a lot of basketball, and he came by and he talked about it very much and very well. So make sure you support Seth Sabalos. Follow him on Twitter at Seth Sabalos. And also, make sure you follow this show on Twitter. Go for it, Gann. And also, you can listen to this show and other shows at GoForItGann. That's where you can follow us on Twitter. But you can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGann. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGann, where you can find this show, and you can listen to this great show. We had a great week, actually. We had Eric Williams on and Barry Floyd from the game this past Thursday. And today we come back with Kirk Coleman and former NBA star Kirk Coleman playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. And you had also former NBA star Cedric Sabalos. Great week of shows here on Go Forward. And make sure you check it out again, blogtalkradio.com/PGann, where you can listen to this show and past shows. And also, make sure you follow the show on Twitter. Go for it again. It's there for you to follow. Follow me. Make sure you follow me on Twitter. I'm a good guy to follow. I'm a great guy to follow, but ultimately, you can follow me on Twitter, but ultimately, hopefully, all of you are following the one and the only Jesus Christ. But again, you can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGann. And again, follow me on Twitter. Go for it, Gann. Follow me there. You can see my thoughts, and you can hear my thoughts at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. Again, thank you, Cedric Sabalos. Again, thank you, Kirk Coleman, stopping by and talking about what you guys are doing right now. Greatly appreciated. You can get with the Penny Show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And make sure you follow the show on Twitter, Go For It Again. For everybody here at Go For It, we wish you nothing but the best of luck. We hope you have a nice day, a happy Easter, and hopefully we will come back next Saturday and listen to the show. See you later!